Blog Talk Radio.
And you two are being built together
into a dwelling place in which God lives by His Spirit.
Ephesians 2, verse 22. No practice runs in life.
That's right. This is not a test. It's the
real thing.
It's the Christcast 2020. My name is Jason Dyson alongside
Kiki Culpepper.
Two generations with
one mission.
And thank you for joining us. Wow.
Welcome back.
That simple line, Kiki. As you know, we talked about it on the show many times.
Yeah.
My math skills are, how should we say, lacking, right? I've always placed an emphasis on being good with words, and I appreciate words more than I do numbers. And when I read this,
I'm the opposite.
Yes, you are. When I read this, I just loved it, and it launched me into and 10 years of discovery. I wanted to know where Ephesus was. Who were these Ephesians, and who was writing this book, and where did it occur, and where is that city today? And so it's amazing. You said something a couple weeks ago. You can read through the Bible 100 times and learn something new.
Every single time you read through it.
Absolutely true. But this was, these 18 words were the thing that really changed the trajectory of, we wouldn't be doing the show without this line. It really did. And speaking of learning things, I did not know this until this week.
Oh, gosh.
The store over at Creekside is actually not called Ultra Beauty. It's Ulta Beauty.
Yeah.
Never knew that until this week.
Okay, so for anyone that doesn't know, I'm not big of a makeup or beauty person, but I still knew that.
I got in there, I was like, what's the name of this place? Ulta Beauty. You mean Ultra Beauty? No, it's called Ulta Beauty. I had to go to the pick up something.
It's Ulta.
Now I know. I know. Yeah, it's a little side note here on the Christcast 2020. It's true. Kiki doesn't require a lot of makeup and stuff. Anyway, before we get started, I got to send a quick shout out to my good friend, Condra Smalley. She won the Austin Peay Alumni Award this weekend. Really, really cool. Told a great story about how she went from being on academic probation to winning this award, and then basically everybody got up there, thank God. One of the first things everyone did, they got up there and they thanked God, and I just thought that was so great. So I wanted to send a shout out. Condra's a great and godly lady up in Tennessee, where we're getting a lot of people that listen.
Why
to
Tennessee?
Because I've been going up there a lot and telling people about this show. Now, it's kind of a nasty day here in New Braunfels, Texas, at our super secret location. And when you feel this cold weather, I don't know what happened, but Kiki, this year, everybody had the decorations up for Christmas. It is maybe too quick for me. I know we've talked about this. A little too soon, maybe?
Yeah.
But it's a good reminder that...
Well, there's the Keep Christ in Christmas concert coming up on December 8th at 5 p.m. at the Brontex.
We will be there with our little miniature Christmas tree.
We'll be there broadcasting in the back if y'all want to come say hi. But it's going to be a good concert.
Yes.
And it is free for anyone to come, so you don't have to pay.
And they've really figured out how to do it the right way. So Pastor Adam and his team continue to do a great job with the Keep Christ in Christmas concert. And as we get started in this book, the book of Ephesians, I guess the best way to say this is imagine the Apostle Paul. Ephesus is one of the biggest cities in the Roman Empire. It's the capital of Asia, what is known as Asia at the time. And the Apostle Paul goes up there and starts this church and does such a great job that he actually ends up irritating all the people that ran all the other churches because it's a cosmopolitan area.
It's too good.
It's too good. He does too good of a job. It would sort of be
probably the church in Ephesus is like something they're comparing themselves to when they don't necessarily need to.
Absolutely. As an example, though, it'd be like him showing up here in late October and convincing everyone in New Braunfels not to get together and drink beer and eat fried pickles and fried Oreos.
No Worse Fest for you.
No Worse Fest for you. Well, the people that rely on the money from Worse Fest would probably run the Apostle Paul out of here with an accordion stuffed up his nose. This is what happens in Ephesus. It's a city with a lot of pagan gods. Those people run him out of town. And so we're going to find out where he's writing this from, and we're going to do it all right after
this.
Hey, this is Jason with the Christcast 2020 podcast. About a year ago, I decided that when I woke up in the morning, I would read just maybe one passage out of the Bible before I even thought about any of the social media platforms. Everyone's schedule is different, but I encourage you to try that. It will change your perspective for the better, I promise you. And now back to the book of Ephesians.
For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus,
to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians 2, verse 8.
That is a constant theme in this book of the Bible, is that we are being built together.
Yeah,
hey, this is intro all the time.
It's a very construction worthy.
It is a very, very construction worthy book, which is probably why it appealed to me as a frustrated architect. Let's talk about where we are. Speaking of architecture, Paul's in a Roman prison, by the way, when he writes this.
Yeah, Paul's in prison once again.
This is where we start the prison epistles for the next few weeks. About AD 60, 63. Ish. If you want to find out about the trip to Ephesus, you can find it in Acts chapter 19. Let's talk about the big idea of this book, because this is a very, very important, well, they're all important books of the Bible, but this one is particularly important because it explains, I think, better than any other book, a question that I've had a lot of trouble explaining. What happened to the Mosaic Covenant when Jesus Christ arrives on the scene? And the simple fact is, Jesus fulfilled the law. Being the Messiah, Jesus fulfilled the law. And so this little border that was around the Jewish people comes down. You know,
it's the walls coming down in Jericho.
Exactly.
All at the same time.
And it's basically saying that now we don't have to live separate from one another. And so
just live together.
Yes. And so that's probably the biggest thing. God's law with his covenant people, the Jews, has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ.
That means the two groups, which are the Jews and the Gentiles, can now live together in peace together. But that's all depending if they want to do that. That's what it says for them.
They are still resisting it to this very day, by the way.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this on the show. How could you not know? This guy checked all the boxes. Are you from the house of David?
Yeah.
Check. Were you born in Bethlehem? Probably not. Actually, yeah, because we had to go, you know, register for taxes. So Jesus fulfills that law. The wall comes down, and now we're all supposed to be this multi-ethnic church. And they explained it.
Which is still very hard for us to be today.
We're going to talk about how hard it is. Hey, in Ephesians 2:11, it says, "You are no longer foreigners and aliens,
but fellow citizens with God's people and members of the same household."
That's right. So we're all, again, here, there's that building word, the household, members
again,
of the household.
Construction-wise.
Yes, this would be a great show. If you have somebody in your family that's interested in construction but doesn't go to church, this is the book for them. Before we talk about how we can apply Ephesians today, I wanted to ask you, because this letter is written to a mature church. The church of Ephesus, when Paul writes this, is about 20 years in the making, pretty established church, and we have an established Christian church in our community.
We have a few.
Yeah, quite a few. And I was just curious, because it is a multi-generational show. I mean, and I said this off the air, that as soon as you do something that appeals to your generation, it's going to
roll over and have another generation not like it as well.
Exactly. You know, the contemporary service versus traditional service. But what are some things you think the churches could do to attract more people in your generation?
For our generation, it's kind of hard for us to come out of our comfort zone to begin with. So you really need something that's going to appeal to us. Just being welcoming is a huge factor, because a lot of us, I feel like my generation specifically, is a lot more extroverts, but we're like introvert extroverts.
Yep, I've heard that term applied to your generation, yes.
All the same, like, we're introverts when we first start out, but as soon as you know us, we're extreme extroverts.
That's true.
So you kind of need to approach us. We can't really approach y'all as much.
Yeah. And
just kind of be welcoming and not have as traditional. That's kind of what the church in Ephesus is kind of holding on to. It's like, it's holding on to such old standards.
And so let's talk about how we apply that in Ephesians today. The book talks a lot about spiritual growth of each person is the key to growing God's kingdom in the Christian church. And what you just said is so true. I went to a church. It was just Mass on Sunday, and basically that was it. There was no Bible study. There was really nothing. You just went to church.
We need a community to really experience a good church.
And spiritual growth does not occur simply by going to church on Sunday.
No,
I mean,
it's a continual effort that you have to constantly be putting work into. Nobody ever said faith was going to be easy or it's going to be pure.
This thing that we do is not easy. In fact, that's the other way we're going to apply Ephesians today, is simply to say,
we have to do what's right, even though it's going to be the hardest choice, but it's not easy. It's never going to be easy. Jesus got crucified for doing what was right.
Yep,
That's true. Didn't Paul end up getting, like, crucified up?
He was beheaded, yeah.
Somebody was crucified upside down.
Peter was crucified upside down. Because he said he wasn't worthy to die the same way Jesus Christ. All these guys were put to death except for John, who survives out on the island of Patmos.
Like,
and the sole survivor, And then he's going to write that our last book, Book of Revelation. That fascinating, amazing, hard to get your head around Book of Revelation. But we're not there yet. That'll be a few months from now. And that is absolutely
Time has been going faster.
True. It has been going faster. I mean, here we are talking about Christmas. We have 2 weeks left in November. No show. Obviously, Thanksgiving Day.
We have a show next week, but not the week after.
Yeah, then we'll take a break and we'll come back for the show before the Keep Christ and Christmas concert. But more on Ephesians. If you have a chance, folks, we do this show because we want you to read the book. We want you to read the book of the Bible. It's only 6 chapters long.
Ours is like the quick note version.
Yes. In some Bibles, I've seen this, it actually shares pages with another book of the Bible because it is such a short book of the Bible. But man, it is a stock full of stuff that is still relevant today. And this next thing, I think, is something that a lot of people are familiar with. It's a popular verse. I've met a lot of people, this is their favorite verse in the Bible, and it's from Ephesians 6:10.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God,
so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And again, that's Ephesians 6:10. Now,
the last chapter
in
Ephesians.
And it's basically talking about and he uses the word spiritual warfare. I mean, he's not talking about he's talking about proclaiming the truth. You know, Ephesus is the home of Artemis and all these Greek gods and all these pagan rituals and things like that. And Paul walks in there with his flip-flops and just turns all of that
on its head.
And that's what he's saying.
In a matter of a few years.
And that's what we need to do. You know, there's a reason why I'm so interested in this prison ministry thing that we're trying to do. You know, Paul's in prison. You know,
he's in prison.
He's writing the Bible. He doesn't need a Bible, but there are people, and that's what I was thinking about. I brought my Bible today, which I don't always. You can't see it, obviously.
Yeah.
Because this thing of ours, Kiki, it's not easy, is it?
No.
It's not easy doing this. It's not easy being these people that represent the faith as publicly as we do. But I was struck by something, Annalisa, that this book. Unlike a lot of critics and skeptics who have said this to me, people in my extended family, oh, Jason, it's just a collection of myths and legends from all kinds of civilizations.
Then why are they backed up by history and science
everything.
And so many physical
everything.
Features?
All the stuff that you apply to the Bible that you try to discredit actually proves its validity. I mean, it absolutely does.
It's almost impossible not to prove the Bible through trying to work with the earth.
Absolutely, absolutely true. But what I was thinking is this book, it's alive. It really can change your heart. It can change your life. Like I said, that simple little verse at the beginning, Ephesians 2:22, it changed the trajectory of my life. That's when I first did the gala video at Cross Lutheran. And then all the basketball and volleyball games, it just got me fired up about the Bible in a historical way. And so if you love history, if you love drama, if you love great storytelling,
the Bible is your favorite book.
It's all in there. It's all
in
there.
The Bible has something for everyone
Everybody.
To read.
Everybody. And I got to tell you, the most important thing it has is the roadmap. Speaking of construction, building a roadmap to your eternal salvation. And the book of Ephesus, I think, probably does a better job than any other book in the New Testament, understanding the Mosaic covenant of the Old Testament and the New Covenant with Jesus Christ. So, my name is Jason Dias, alongside
Kiki Culpepper.
And to God be the
glory. We know practice runs in life.